Let's explain why Chinese stock markets went into a dive today.
This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer or mobile device instantly streamed by Netflix to save you time, money, and hassle. Free 30-day trial now at netflix.com/APM.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. The key stock index in Shanghai fell 5.3% today, its worst loss in 4 years. The Chinese government is saying it is okay if credit is tight for banks for the foreseeable future. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz joins us from Shanghai. Morning, Rob.
Good morning, David.
All right, so what did the Chinese government say about this?
Well, yesterday, a commentary in the government-run Xinhua News Service suggested the government was cracking down on what it calls shadow financing. It's become a common practice in China where well-known banks will channel money into risky wealth management products as well as a very large off-the-books underground lending sector. Many small businesses in China aren't able to get loans from state banks, so they'll tap into this informal lending sector where interest rates are typically very high. And according to Fitch Ratings, half of all loans in China are done this way. The Chinese government is very worried about all this. So last week, it raised the lending rates between banks. It froze lending to this underground sector and making many of these smaller informal lenders worried they'll default on their loans and potentially collapse.
So in this country, the central bank might issue some kind of statement worrying about irrational exuberance and the markets would adjust. In China, the centralized government presses this kind of button. But why is the government doing this now?
Well, yeah, economists here are saying that, you know, Beijing is basically punishing what it sees as unhealthy lending practices. It's trying to shore up the long-term financial stability of the country by reining in reckless lending, even if it causes some short-term pain. You know, the big question here, though, is that as it's doing this, will investors start to lose confidence in China's economy? Markets are down to historic lows. People are already worried about China's inflated property market. So this is already looking pretty scary and pretty messy from those outside of Beijing.
And how much does it bleed over into global markets? Rob Schmitz, Marketplace's China Bureau Chief in Shanghai. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, David.
In fact, let's answer that question by doing the numbers. Told you about Shanghai down 5.3%. The Hang Seng Index, the one in Hong Kong, fell 2.2%. Right now, the FT 100 in London down about 1%, with U.S. index futures down. Now, if I asked you which states had the most well-off children, would you guess North Dakota, Wyoming, and South Dakota? That's what this year's new report from the NEE Casey Foundation has found. As for the bottom, three of the four lowest-ranking states are in the southwestern corner of the country. From Washington, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
For the first time in 24 years of this study, Mississippi is no longer in the cellar. New Mexico is. Several states in the southwest were hit by the housing bust. Construction slowed, and for low-income families, rental prices went up. Meantime, state safety nets shrank, says study author Laura Speer at the Annie E. Casey Foundation.
In places like Nevada, in places like Arizona, the infrastructure for kids and families is not where it needs to be.
New Mexico lacks a big sector to fuel a recovery, says economist James Peach at New Mexico State University. The state does have high-tech research, but he says it struggled to create a tech sector.
Bill Gates was originally located in New Mexico. And in the late 70s, he could not get a $50,000 loan to continue his enterprise, and he went home to Seattle.
Across the country, the child poverty rate rose 4 points to 23%. On the good news side, kids' health insurance coverage went up, as did math and reading scores. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. Streamed now by Netflix, a great value. Netflix Streaming has lots of movie and television options, including past seasons of House of Cards, Breaking Bad, and Arrested Development. Watch them using Netflix Instant Streaming and find thousands of other TV series and movies during your free 30-day trial at netflix.com/APM.
Coming out of the Paris Air Show, Europe's Airbus is claiming just slightly more orders than Boeing of Chicago. Airbus got nearly $69 billion worth of orders for 466 planes. Boeing's 442 planes for just $66 billion were the numbers there. The big battle is between the 787 Dreamliner and Airbus's new A350. Christopher Worth reports.
We all know about shrinking legroom, but the next time you board a flight, count the number of seats that stretch across a single row.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Ilham Zimbi is a flight attendant showing off this brand new 787 Dreamliner. 9 seats across is fairly standard for wide-body planes like this. It's as much as Boeing's 787 has room for. And Airbus's Christopher Emerson says that's where his company's new A350 has an advantage.
The A350 is a larger airplane.
It's a few inches wider, which means by shaving 1 inch off an 18-inch seat, the A350 can fit 10 passengers across on a type of plane that typically seats 9. Aviation analyst Ernest Arvai says narrower seats are the latest trend for airlines that want to squeeze more people into the same space.
So if you thought seats were tight before, wait a couple of years because these new airplanes will be even tighter.
To cram in that extra seat, he says aircraft manufacturers shrink aisles, armrests, and even the walls of the airplane. That's because the economics of air travel are measured in CASMs, that is, cost per air seat mile. It's how much an airline spends to transport each passenger.
So every time you put more seats in the airplane, the cost per seat mile goes down.
And airlines make more profit. I asked Boeing's Randy Tenseth if Airbus's extra seat is a threat to Boeing's new Dreamliner.
So are we scared? Absolutely not.
He says at 10 seats across, the Airbus A350 will be a grueling ride for those long-haul 10 to 12-hour flights.
Frankly, I don't know if there's a narrow enough seat to fit 10 abreast in that airplane. You have to have really, really narrow aisles or you don't have armrests.
That said, Boeing is already in the 10-seater game. Most new orders for the company's tried and tested 777 are for 10 seats across, and it gets tighter. The latest layouts for Airbus's jumbo jet, the A380, are for 11 across. Pity the poor soul who gets stuck in that middle seat. I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
And Hostess, the Twinkies conglomerate, went into bankruptcy to reorganize, in part by firing 15,000 union workers. Now there's word Twinkies will return to store shelves July 15th, adjacent to the kale and quinoa that are already on store shelves. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.